Please be seated.
Excuse me, Billy.
And the congregation said, Amen. Good morning. In the month of February, Roy and I are looking at lessons on the words of Moses. You might recall in January, our theme was the inspiration of the Bible. And now we're looking at specific words, rotating between Old Testament and New Testament, month by month. Next month, for instance, will be the words of Jesus, and we never grow tired of those. But I love this little story that we find in Numbers chapter 10, and you'll recall the relationship that existed between Moses and his father-in-law, Jethro. Back in Exodus chapter 2, when Moses had to flee from Pharaoh and landed in the land of Midian, he was taken in by Jethro and given as his wife one of the seven daughters that were born to Jethro and his wife, Zipporah. Later in Exodus 18, Jethro shows up to give Moses advice about how to govern these Israelites that I don't even know if we can approximate the number of people that he led out of Egyptian captivity, but everybody had a daily problem. Everybody was bringing their problems to him, and Jethro said, you've got to find people that will help and set up a system that evidently worked beautifully in governing Israel. And now, as they're about to leave Mount Sinai, they've built the tabernacle. They're about to begin the pilgrimage to the land of Canaan, the land of promise, the land of milk and honey. And now Moses befriends his father-in-law, Jethro, who is about to go back and, in fact, is insisting that he goes back to his own land, to his own people, and is not going to remain with the children of Israel. It's a beautiful thought. That has a striking parallel to where we are 3,500 years later in the Lord's church. I want you to notice three things briefly. Moses is saying to Jethro, I want you to come and share our pilgrimage. Whether Jethro realized it to the degree that Moses did is doubtful. But there was no doubt that the Israelites were the descendants of Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, the 12 tribes of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph was one of the 12 tribes. And then eventually came Moses. They were a chosen race. They were a special people. They were a people for God's possession. In fact, the Old Testament resounds with the theme, you are to be a holy nation unto me. And as we think about where we are, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 uses the very words that are found in Exodus 19. You are a chosen race. You are a special priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for God's own possession. And he's not talking to the Jews. He's talking to the church that the Lord died to establish and was spreading throughout the Roman Empire in the first century. That's us. They were going to a special place, a land of milk and honey. Well, it's going to be delayed, as we know, by their own disobedience. And they're going to wander 40 years. And next week, we plan to, Lord willing, discuss the idea of Moses almost getting there, but not quite getting there. And if you look for a parallel, we too are on a spiritual pilgrimage to a definite place that is beyond human description. There is no language that describe what the city of God, heaven itself, the celestial city, that is described somewhat in terms that we can picture and yet really not fully, the book of Revelation, what heaven, our home of the soul, is going to be like. We too are on the way to a special place. And it's not of this world. We've seen this world is not our home. I'm just passing through. As much as we love it, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're on the way to a much better place. And we're comforted by that. They also enjoyed a very special privilege, and that is relationship with God Almighty that the nations around them did not enjoy. They were His people. He was their God. Earlier this week in chapel one day, our brother Justin Rogers spoke to our students about the blessings in Christ, the spiritual blessings in Christ that we enjoy, based on Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And he made the point that if we were to begin to list all of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, we would be here literally, he said, all day. And that's true. And so he chose two. He talked about we have a relationship with God, and number two, we have freedom in Christ. Those are two great things to remember, but listen, they're only two. And as we start to list the spiritual blessings along with the material blessings that God so bountifully gives, those are addressed and promised over and over again to people who obey the gospel and are added to the Lord's church and who are faithful through the course of their lives. We're on a pilgrimage. Number two, come and share our partnership, he says to Jethro. Jethro at first says, no, no, no. I have my own plans. I want to go back home. I want to go to my own people. But Moses offers certain opportunities. Become a member of our family. Jethro was not an Israelite. He was a Midianite. And what Moses is offering to him is membership in the family of God to receive all the blessings that God had in store for Israel, including a land flowing with milk and honey. What do you and I have to offer to the people all around us? Do we fully understand what it means when we say we are the children of God? We do not say so with haughtiness. Quite to the contrary, we do so with great humility. If it were not for Him, there would be no hope for us. And so we offer to people, come and be a part of the family of God. Come and be a part where God is the Father and Jesus is the Son, and the Spirit is the presence in our lives that is promised to us to guide us from this life to the next. And then there are things like the best people that we know in the whole world who make up our family, who make up our friendships, and who make up our fellowship. Enjoy the benefits of our fellowship. Not only come with us, but we promise to you, if you will, if you do, we will do you good. I love that. Can you imagine inviting someone to be a part of just a worship service, to see what we're all about, to see what worship is about, to see what is involved in the workings of the Lord's church, and they be hurt by the visit? And I'm not talking about their being hurt by what they may understand is what they need to do in terms to save their souls. But can you imagine any of us doing anything that would hurt someone that would want to be a part of our family, our spiritual family, our fellowship? I know things can happen, and we don't always intend for them to happen, but that's the exception to the rule. Every time we come together, we are enriched by the fellowship of each other. And so what we're saying to people is, come and we will love you. Those who are visiting with us today, who may be with us for the first time and are considering becoming a part of our family, we promise that. We pledge that. We will love you and we will care for you to the very best of our ability. That's what Moses was offering Jethro, and Jethro was not getting any younger. Moses was not getting any younger. You need us. That is to say, he was saying that to Jethro. You need to be a part of this group. You need to be a part of this family and fellowship. But it was also true that we need you. When Jethro said no, Moses said, please, please reconsider. please reconsider, because you know this land. We're traveling through your land. We don't even know where to encamp 3 days into the journey. And if you will go with us, and every indication is that he did, Judges 4, verse 11 and following, you can help us. There are several of you who might recall in recent years that when you were considering placing membership with this congregation, I would come to you and say, please become a part of our family because we need you. And I could not be more sincere about that. There are people who look at the size of the Henderson Church and the history and the legacy and all of that and say, you need me? I mean, look at all the people that you've got. The person that stands out in response to that was Michael Green. Michael looked at me very firmly and said, why do you need us? And to tell you the truth, at first it startled me. Because I want everybody to understand, you know, why we need you as a part of our congregation. And so I said, Michael, we need you, and we need Jill, and we need Cheyenne, and we need Stephen for what you will bring to us. We need you for your presence. We need you for your abilities. And boy, these years since, we have seen those abilities many times over, haven't we? How much this family does and your family does that has been added in recent years, as well as all the years of your life. Each one is needed, and each one is conspicuous by your absence. There are those who are ill today and not able to be with us. Jan Sharp is never sick, right, Roy? Are you awake back there, brother? She is never sick. She's a rock, and yet she is today, and she is conspicuous by her absence. You are needed. The Lord's work is going to be done, whether we do it or not, but he is counting on us to do it. Come and share in our partnership with God, with the Lord Jesus, and with each other. And thirdly, come and share our promises. The Lord has promised good concerning Israel. That was the land. And to this day, the Israelites, the Jewish people, I'm talking about Orthodox Jews, you can talk about any place in the world, but the place that is the most special to them is what they call the land. They might not have even been there themselves yet, American Jews and Jews in other places, but the land of Israel is still the land of promise. And in their own theology, they have various views as to what's going to happen there when the Messiah comes. We know that, sadly, they are tragically mistaken about that. The Messiah has come, and the Messiah is here. He's with us this morning. It's his church. But think about the promises that were made to Israel. Even though delayed, there was not one that was not kept eventually. They would have been kept immediately had they been obedient rather than disobedient. If they would listen rather than been stubborn. And so we have a great deal to offer concerning the promises of God. Listen, we are promised a home with our Creator for a never-ending eternity. And we're excited about that beyond explanation, not because of the alternative, that hell is so awful and terrible, oh, I don't want to go there, so I really want to go to heaven. No, no, no. Because we love Him. We praise Him. We adore Him. There is nothing about Him that we do not love and wish to see and live with for eternity. And shall I say that if you and I are not one day closer today to being in heaven someday, what are we doing here? If we're not certain that that is the promise that God has made, what are we doing? And then also there's the matter of the promise of God's help, not just a new home. Whatever good the Lord does for us. Moses had special revelation, of course, to him about what God had in mind and what God had in store, but even he could not imagine everything that God was going to do and what God eventually did do. But he says it's going to be good because he's a God of goodness. It is not his nature to be wicked and to be evil. And I know there are a lot of people disturbed about all of the times when the Israelites took out this people and took out that people. But remember, the overall purpose of this people was to bring to us Jesus into the world in due time. And he did. Through them. And so there was help that was promised, and there is help that is promised for the people who come to the Lord's church. You know, we talk about the work of instruction, and we talk about the work of indoctrination, and we talk about the work of evangelism and benevolence. And especially in that area, you know, the greatest thing that we can do for someone is to bring them to the Lord. But right with that is to show them the kind of concern and regard, love and caring that the good physician provides. And I've heard time and time again people say who are in the midst of terrible situations like has been mentioned here this morning in terms of our brother James, in terms of our brother Stan, and those that are in lesser situations that are also very, very important. But about the recovery, we are certain. In Brother Stan's position, we need to pray fervently, that what can be done has been done and is being done. But the Lord is listening to our prayers and our pleas, and that he can be spared and restored, as Roy said, to his service, as Brother Barry prayed a few moments ago. Whatever good the Lord does for us, we will do for you. That was the promise that Moses made. It was a vow, like, that Moses made to his father-in-law, Jethro. Jethro had been good to Moses. And now Moses was making all the promises of the Israelites to Jethro. We're making all the promises that we have known, some of us, our entire lives. And yet there are others that we anticipate. And perhaps some that we do not even recognize. We do not even understand. That's from the Lord. That's from God. That is the only explanation for our well-being. I want to close today with a story about my niece in Shreveport, Louisiana, Jan Elkins, that some of you went to school with. Jan is a well-known and beloved TV reporter and has been her whole career. And she's quite famous down there, to tell you the truth. Won a number of awards, even at the national level. And there was a time where her assignment was being the health reporter. Younger in her career, she eventually became news director and so forth. And she went to a hospital and was introduced to a nurse that not only was having a bad day, but every time she saw her, it was a bad day. There were no good days. The worst attitude that she had ever seen in a person in her entire life. And Jan decided to befriend the lady. Her name was Arlene. She decided to befriend the lady and invite her to an upcoming event at her congregation called Family and Friends Day, like we have here. And to her surprise, the lady said, yes. Jan said, I will be by at so-and-so time to pick you up, and I will take you, and we'll have a morning Bible study and a morning worship and a fellowship meal, and then I will bring you home. To her shock, when Jan entered the building at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, to her shock, there in the lobby waiting for her was Arlene, with a totally different attitude and disposition. And Jan greeted her by saying, "Arlene, what in the world are you doing here? I didn't say anything about tonight." She said, "I didn't want you to, and I didn't want to come back with you. I wanted to come on my own to see if what you people said on Sunday morning, you mean on Sunday night." And she found that they did. And she entered a series of Bible studies and was baptized into Christ, lived the rest of her life before being stricken with a stroke and died. But she died in Christ. And everything about her life in those last years was different. You see, that's the difference that a pilgrimage makes that's on the way to heaven. That's the partnership with God that in this particular case, a TV reporter happened to have the opportunity to influence. And that's the promises that we enjoy as a result of believing with all of our hearts everything that God promises us without wavering, without failing, and especially without ever giving up. We are a people of hope and we are a people of His help. That's who we are. It's really all about Him. And how happy we are and blessed we are that what people see when they see just the physical building when they pass by every day is the church of Christ. It does not belong to us. We belong to her. We are her, the bride to the precious bridegroom who is the Savior. And so when Moses said to Jethro, "Come with us, and we will do you good," today it is my privilege to say to you, "Come with us, and we will do you good." Because the Lord has promised us good. And the good that He does to us, we will do to you. That means being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That comes as a result of making a decision. I'm going to commit my life to this man who is not a mere man, the Son of God. I'm going to make the good confession that I believe in Him with all of my heart, that He's the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, and the Lord. And our prayer is that you're going to do that right now, while we stand and sing. I heard an old story.